In Graham Robb's new book, Parisians, An Adventure History of Paris, the past comes to you in thundering whispers and haunting asides. You never know by name who's speaking, but you do. It's history as a great masked ball of revelations. None of this is fiction, but it reads like the most thrilling of novels. Graham Robb joins us now from Oxford, England. Graham, this is truly an art of raising people from the dead and sort of principled eavesdropping. I thought it was just magnificent.
Well, thanks very much. That's great.
You've written about France quite a bit before. You've written about Victor Hugo and Balzac. But in this book, only as the tale goes on, in the first few chapters anyway, you use this approach, only as the tale goes on do we surmise who the tale teller is. And I thought it was a wonderful approach, kind of like being blindfolded at a picnic where you could hear people speaking. Why did you choose this approach to Parisian history?
Well, one thing I wanted to do in the book was to write about ordinary Parisians, people whose experience of the city was in some ways typical of other people's experience. And the problem is that in order to recreate the past, you need a lot of documentation and information. So inevitably, you find yourself writing about people who are quite famous, like Napoleon or Marie Antoinette. But the point is that when you catch them there at a particular moment in the city, you're really trying to just describe them not as the person they became, but as the person they were at the time. So I thought it was important not to allow all those preconceived notions that we have of Napoleon or Marie Antoinette or Charles de Gaulle to interfere at the very beginning.
Right. So could we begin with this young lieutenant in a packet ship who's traveling up the Seine to Paris? This passenger is an 18-year-old artillery lieutenant. I think we can guess who it might be, but I just loved the ordinariness of his coming into the city, and he's got quite a few opinions. He refers to himself in his diary as a man of, I think, is it strong passions, honourable passions?
Yes, strong passions, with very definite ideas about how a modern city should be run. And the city family arrived in Paris, to him, was still a medieval city. I mean, he was thinking of a great imperial capital, such as London, and wondering why Paris wasn't as great and magnificent and efficient as London.
So what happens to this young man?
Well, he came to Paris for two reasons. One, he was on family business, but he also wanted to overcome the great hurdle and lose his virginity. The extraordinary thing is that young Napoleon wrote an account of his experiment and kept it with him all through the years of battles and exile. Miraculously, that little account that he wrote survived, and it's a wonderful insight into the experience of what was then just a young artillery lieutenant.
It's dated Thursday, the 22nd of November, 1787, written in Paris at the Hôtel de Cherbourg. And it says, I was stirred by the vigorous sentiments that characterized my soul, indifferent to the cold. I looked at her. She stopped, not with that martial air of the others, but with an air that was perfectly in keeping with her physical appearance. And he describes this frail young woman that he takes home.
He does, and that's partly the great value of his account, that there, lots of people talk about prostitution in Paris, but there are very few accounts of the women themselves. So it's a wonderful little glimpse of an individual who otherwise is completely lost to us. We don't even know what her name was.
You know, what I love about it is he will go on to conquer so much of the world, but on this night in your passage, she conquers him. And it's a lovely twist, as so many of your interludes and chapters are. This is a series of vignettes, really, that bring us up to the present, but we're going to stick with the foundation chapters of your book. So introduce us to the man who saved Paris. This is your next chapter, Charles-Axel Guillemot. What happened in the winter of 1774?
Suddenly, on the edge of Paris, the Rue d'Enfer, part of the street collapsed, and a huge hole opened up. And it was a gigantic chasm. It seemed to justify those who claimed there was an ancient prophecy which said that one day all the churches and colleges of the left bank, the Quartier Latin, would fall into a bottomless abyss. And Guillemot, I was amazed that I hadn't come across him in any history of Paris, but he was an architect who considered himself, probably quite rightly, to be a genius, who'd so far only been able to build boring things like barracks. And he was sent down to investigate.
Appointed by the king, right? No?
Yes, he was appointed by the king. He went down there and found, first of all, that there was a huge subterranean network of ancient quarries on which the left bank of Paris was perched. And worse than that, as he dug down, he realised that the floors of these quarries were the ceilings of even older quarries, which were dug down below them. And what had happened was that the right bank of Paris had been built with the limestone that was quarried out of the left bank. And he was the first man to realise that unless something was done very quickly, half of Paris would suddenly disappear into the void.
It had to be an absolutely terrifying but also exhilarating opportunity, because he goes on to create a map to try to match the tunnels below to the streets above. Could you explain that a little bit?
In fact, there were more cartographers employed on mapping the underworld of Paris than were employed on the expedition that was mapping all of France. He was a very conscientious man. In fact, he would, even before the houses in the streets above had been numbered, he gave them numbers on the streets below so that he always knew where he was in this endless labyrinth.
How do these old quarries and galleries, which Guillaumeau creates, how do they become the present-day catacombs?
He realised that the quarries would be the perfect place to rebury all the bodies that were beginning to overflow from the old medieval and pre-medieval cemeteries that were now inside the city walls. So he set aside part of the quarries for hundreds of thousands of skeletons that were brought through Paris. The whole thing took 15 months. There were torchlit processions. Past populations of Paris trundled through the streets. Instead of just throwing them all into the catacombs in a huge charnel heap, he had them arranged in beautiful patterns. So you have tibias here and femurs there and skulls somewhere else, all arranged in a beautiful, rather ghoulish artistic masterpiece.
In the arc of this book, what kind of Paris are you revealing to us here?
Well, I think that the kind of Paris that I wanted to reveal was not some place about which you can generalise and say, this is typical of Paris, or this is what Paris was like at the time of the revolution, this is what Paris was like 12 months ago. You know, it was one of the frustrations I felt when I was very young. The first time I went to Paris was I could see all these interesting streets and windows, and I didn't know what was going on behind them. I didn't know what people in the street were thinking. So it was that very personal, private Paris that I wanted to try to get into.
Graham Rahm is the author of Parisians, An Adventure History of Paris. It's been a great pleasure talking with you.
It's been a pleasure for me, Jackie. Thank you.